You know, here's what happens sometimes at this radio station. WGN Radio, 720 AM, and then we are on the stream of consciousness. Sometimes we like to fit things in, so you just play them all at the same time.
Oh, I didn't realize that was an option.
Totally.
So you could run commercials, you could run
news,
content,
traffic,
everything simultaneously now?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you got to fit in the baseball game. The White Sox are playing at Detroit. Kevin Powell has to start that pregame show.
True.
So sometimes you have to fit these things in. So, you know, I like to multitask, and so does the station. We just play everything all at the same time.
You sell more ad space that way.
Yes.
It used to be you could only do commercials one at a time during a commercial break.
That's old.
You load them up now. You just run them all at the same time.
You know, it's weird because subliminally you pick up three different commercials.
Oh, I like it.
It's pretty smart thinking,
I like it
actually.
So much. Wendy, during the regular portion of our show.
The regular portion of our show.
I had mentioned a man named Joe West. Does that name mean anything
to
you? No. He's an umpire. In name only. He's a guy. He is. Take it from me, because I love, you know what baseball means to me.
I love
baseball. I don't like baseball. I love baseball. Joe West is to baseball what acne is to prom nights. He's just the worst. He couldn't be a worse umpire than he is. Yesterday, Tim Anderson, the fine shortstop.
Oh, yeah.
And baseball's leading hitter gets hit by a pitch.
Yep.
Now, the backstory on this is, he did a little bit of showboating when he hit a home run a couple innings earlier. I get that. I know that baseball players don't like to be shown up. I get that.
I know, but when you get a home run, I mean, the football players get to do their little
celebrating
dance.
So he did what in baseball circles is considered a little taboo. He admired the ball as it sailed out of the ballpark, and then he did a little bat flip. I understand if you're the Royals, you get a little upset about that.
But you move on.
You move on. So what normally happens in a situation like this is you'll do a brushback pitch against the player or maybe hit him with the baseball, which is exactly what happened.
I don't think that's right, though. I don't think that should be allowed. You shouldn't intentionally hit a player ever.
It's ever.
And I know it takes control to push him back and to not hit him too hard, but I think that is a dirty way of playing baseball.
He threw a soft pitch at him. It hit him in the rear end.
In the butt.
In the butt.
The keister.
In the hiney. I believe the medical term is hiney.
No, it is not.
I'm pretty sure it is. So so then the bench is clear. The White Sox bench, the Royals bench, everybody's at
each
other.
There was a kerfuffle.
They're jawing at each other, which is what the kids like to say. They're yelling. They're screaming at each other. There's some pushing. There's some shoving. They keep Tim Anderson away from the action. They don't want him thrown out. He's baseball's leading hitter.
Although, you know, he's going to get thrown out.
Yeah. Well, no. At that point, no, because all he did was get hit by a pitch through no fault of his own. I mean, yes, as we mentioned, he did a little bit of showboating. I get it. But when you get hit by a pitch, you then don't get thrown out of the game normally, but Joe West, who is baseball's all-time worst umpire, did I mention? He, in his infinite wisdom, ironically, throws him out of the baseball game.
Well, didn't Anderson go to charge or something?
No.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Well, then why was he thrown out?
Nobody knows.
I know Ricky Renteria was also thrown out.
Ricky Renteria was thrown out. The pitcher on the Royals was thrown out.
He should have been thrown out.
Freddie Patek, who was the Royal shortstop in the 1970s, got thrown out for no reason. He's not even connected with baseball anymore. Don't throw Freddie Patek
was
out.
Was he in the audience?
Nope. He was at home.
And they came and escorted him out of his own home?
Yeah, they took him out of his house, Freddie Patek.
Can I ask you something? I know that it happens where you intentionally hit a batter for some reason in retaliation. Maybe your player was hit. I know it happens.
Yep.
But now, is the pitcher who hits the batter definitely kicked out?
Not
is he definitely ejected?
No, not necessarily.
Why?
That's
that should be the risk you get. Like, if you want to go ahead and play dirty like that, then you can do it, but then you should be automatically ejected.
What you see a lot of times is the umpire will throw a warning to both teams, to the pitcher who was the guy who just hit the batter, and to the other team saying, if any of this nonsense, well, they would say it in order. I chose to say it in an anagram form. But they would say, if any of this continues, I'm just going to keep throwing people out. And then Freddie Patek, like I said, he's just home. He's not even watching the game.
That one I don't
get. He hasn't been with the Royals for 30 years. So again, I say to you, Joe West, if you're listening to the stream, stop being an umpire. This is not your calling, obviously. Find something else to do with your life. He's a guy that likes to insert himself in a game where he doesn't need to be. The umpire's role is to call balls and strikes to make sure the game goes according to plan. And when it doesn't, Joe West likes to jump to the top of the heap and go, hey, I'm here, like he did yesterday. Don't throw out Tim Anderson for getting hit by a pitch. That's so upsetting.
See, I don't understand that. And Tim Anderson says he won't change the way he celebrates.
Right.
He's going to keep doing it.
Good for him.
I didn't see it as it happened.
Yeah. I was watching it.
What was his celebration?
Well, all right. So he hits the home run. What you're supposed to do when you hit the ball is run. He chose not to. He stood in the batter's box and just kind of admired the ball as it sailed out of the park.
But then he eventually ran, didn't he?
He eventually ran, but not before he did this bat flip, this kind of showy bat flip, which, again, if you're the Royals, you go, okay, that's unnecessary. What are you doing?
Yeah, but let him, you know, look like a hot dog on his own. Yeah. Why do you have to come back and play dirty?
I know. But then here's what, taking him out of the game was unfortunate, because what would have happened was he was on first base. You get first base for getting hit by a pitch, and he's one of the fastest guys on the White Sox, so he would have stolen second and probably would have scored, and then that alters the outcome of the game. Then maybe the White Sox win instead of lose by a run. Very upsetting. Very disappointed in you, Joe West. Stop being an umpire. Please stop being an umpire.
Is he notoriously known for making bad calls?
Anyone connected with baseball knows that if somebody has not only made a bad call, but some sort of bad judgment involving the game, it's probably Joe West. Angel Hernandez, of course, a close second. You know that.
I'm not that into baseball where
don't
I know the
umpire's
names. I really don't.
I don't know all the umpires in Major League Baseball, but sometimes, and Joe West loves to stand out, so you notice a guy like that who stands out. There used to be a guy in basketball, there was an official named Hugh Hollins, who was just notorious for this sort of thing, too. He just, one bad call after another after another. And I don't say that because I'm a Chicago fan. I watch them do other games.
Yes.
I would watch Hugh Hollins do other games where I go, wait, I'm not an official in the NBA, but even I know that's not what you say. That's not what you do. What are you doing? Joe West is the same way.
NBA?
Yeah.
Did we switch?
Hugh Hollins was a basketball
guy. Oh, I'm sorry. And weren't there some bad refs or umps in the football game?
Oh,
last
in the playoffs?
Yeah.
A famous non-call that went down.
Yeah.
Look. Believe me, I know that everyone's going to make mistakes.
Absolutely.
No one's infallible.
Look at us.
But in a perfect example, Joe West is listening right now going, wait, he's telling me to retire? Really? But in a day and age when umpires run the risk of being replaced by auto-automatrons who could not make mistakes, if I was an umpire, I'd go, wow, they've got the technology now to do what I do better than I do it. I better up my game a little bit.
Didn't I just hear that did I hear it on the Roe Khan show or somewhere where they're going to have robotic umpires for pitches and strikes? Did I hear this?
They've considered it, unless the rules changed since I last heard, they've considered it, and baseball's kind of, and I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of against it. I like the human element of a game, that human is Joe West, who's not even human. Can you tell I don't think he's a very good umpire?
Yes.
Is that coming across at all?
Yeah, I heard you call me that, and I didn't get it.
It's so infuriating because I've seen him umpire so many games over the years, and it seems like every single time he's the umpire, there's some call that you just go, I don't think any other umpire who was calling that game yesterday would not have thrown Tim Anderson out. There would have been a warning involved, and that would have been it.
Although they could have warned him, and if Tim Anderson gets a homer again, he's he's not going to change the way he acts.
I do have to say there is some history with Tim Anderson and the Royals. There was an incident last year, I think on opening day, where there was a little bit of a problem with something that Tim did, and the Royals didn't like it. So a lot of players have this, where there's just one team that over time things happen and it doesn't go well. Joe West shouldn't be an umpire, Wendy.
How do you feel about Joe West?
I don't like him as an umpire. As a dancer, he's magnificent. I've seen him. Did you ever watch that show, Dancing with the Umpires?
No, oh, but boy.
So good.
That would be super funny.
He's so good.
That, you know who should be dancing with the umpires? Could we put refs in there, too?
Yeah,
because,
sure.
Because some of those hockey refs are unbelievable.
Very athletic.
Because they have to get out of the way of the puck. One of the last Hawks games, whoever was officiating that game, like had to jump up in the air and do like this twist to get out of the way.
You see them leveraging themselves on, you know, at the there's that post that goes around the rink, and a lot of times as the puck is coming, you'll see them just almost like a balletic move where they'll just like balance themselves up.
This guy jumped so high, and
they're very athletic.
It's pretty great.
They're very athletic.
I'm upset about something that happened downtown. I've been hearing the news reports all morning. 30 arrested, fights break out. Hundreds of young people were downtown yesterday. They just came, 30 people were arrested in downtown Chicago last night. Fights broke out as hundreds of students and about 200 officers wound through bustling streets. Large group of young people, many of them high school students, they moved through the loop in near North Side. And what makes kids do this? 20 males and 6 females, all juveniles, were taken into custody, most of them charged with disorderly conduct. It's just a misdemeanor. They were released to their parents. There were like 500 teens traveling through the city. Shortly after 9 p.m., police lined the middle of State Street outside the Chicago Theater. More than a dozen officers on bikes surrounded the teens, blared their sirens. About 15 minutes later, a large group bolted back to the corner of State and Lake as two women posed for a photo in front of the Chicago Theater. When they run like that, someone starts a fight. I just don't understand why you would. They did this at North Riverside Park Mall recently, too, where they had to close the mall. What are these flash mobs, and do they not think they're going to get in trouble?
So, all right, I heard a little bit of it on the news on my way in, and I can't figure out how much of this was planned.
I don't know if we know. About 9:30, there was a tense standoff between the teens and police outside a nearby Potbelly. As police shoved through the center of the crowd, a large group ran from the corner outside the Potbelly to the Witt Hotel. There were several more arrests. Then about 9:40, 10 minutes later, a large group made their way past a packed patio at McCormick and Schmick's, One East Wacker.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're going to a party, said a man who observed the crowd as he crossed the street. Large group of students headed into the State Lake Red Line Station about 10 p.m. An officer said, "Beat it, go home, get out of here." And, I guess this is the third day of spring break for Chicago Public Schools. And a large group of teens gathered at Millennium Park. They moved them out of the way. This was earlier in the night. Several fights broke out.
Wow.
Is this what you do for spring break? And you say you don't like kids staying in their house playing video games? Why don't they? I just don't understand this mob mentality.
Is Chicago going to be like White Hen Pantry, where only two students are allowed in at a time? Is that what it's going to become?
I don't think that's a bad idea.
Did your White Hen used to have that rule?
No. Not to me.
The White Hen Pantry by us had it was a printed out sign, not like something that the shop owner just went, "Oh, these kids, I got to do something." It was like a formal sign.
That's a good idea.
That said, only two students allowed in store at a time. That's profiling.
But is it profiling? I mean,
What if I was taking a night class? Would I not be allowed in? Technically, I'd be a student.
Well, I know, but like teenagers,
harder for me to steal Laffy Taffy if they won't let me in. Come on. I deserve that, right?
That's what you'd steal?
No, I'd steal the hot dog buns.
Why?
I don't know. I like hot dog buns.
You're a weirdo. I just don't understand it.
I just want to know how much of this was planned or how much of it was spontaneous, where kids just look around and go, "There sure are a lot of us. What mischief can we conjure up?"
That's the way
teens speak, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Did you think I was a teenager for a minute?
Did
you
have to look up? Look over.
No, it's just me, Wendy, pretending I'm a teenager.
It's just 30
what
arrested.
What mischief can we conjure up?
And I know they're really not going to get in that much trouble. They were released to their parents.
Well, but at the time, you don't know it. You just see them all moving, a large mass of kids moving fast. You think anything's possible. Hey, my hubcaps are gone.
like a swarm of bees.
Yeah.
And then when they leave, there's a cartoon or something.
They would surround my Jeep, and then my hubcaps would just magically be gone. And then I would shake my fist. You kids.
I say just stay home and play video games.
That's the answer.
I want to talk about this Mueller report. I know you do, too. It was released earlier this morning between 8:30 and 9, right around 9 o'clock, I think.
Does it mention Joe West, Wendy, because he should not be an umpire? Is there any mention at all of that in the Mueller report?
No.
And they did not do their job then.
It has been released. I'm certainly not going to read it. Are you?
I am anxious to actually. What I'll end up doing probably is reading the highlights.
Yeah, that'll do.
The unredacted highlights.
But we have our show attorney, Rich Lankoff, partner at Bryce Downey and Lankoff. He also is a co-host of the Legal Face Off podcast that you can find here at WGN Plus. We're going to talk to him after the noon news, and that's why I don't have to read it, because hopefully Rich has.
Yes, he can digest it for us. Did you get an announcement from? I got a thing from Barnes & Noble that if I had, now I don't have a Nook, but if I had a Nook, I could get it sent to my Nook for free upon its release today. Do you get a notice like that?
I don't have a Nook.
I don't either.
Yeah, but you must have some online account at Barnes & Noble.
I'm not a member of Barnes & Noble. I get their coupons from time to time, 15% off coupons. But
then you're subscribed to them somehow.
Oh, I guess so. But they wanted to inform me that I could have this instantaneously this morning. But I was doing the show during it, and I don't have a Nook.
Never mind. I don't have any Nook jokes. Nanook of the North. I got nothing. All right. We are going to take a break. You are listening to us at WGNradio.com. You may be listening to us on the app. I love plugging, I go to WGN Radio, the app, and that's how I listen. I was listening to John Williams yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's highly entertaining. So hopefully you are listening to us now on the stream. White Sox baseball is happening at 7:20. And should we give updates of scores?
If you want to, yeah.
All right, because John Williams was doing that, and I didn't know if that was like a good thing or a bad thing. We want people to stay listening to us,
we just can't give an account of the game. Major League Baseball frowns on us giving actual accounts of the game, but the score I think we can do. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a break, and Rich Lankoff will be on with us after the news.
Thank you, Dave Schwann. Hi, everybody. The bonus hour continues. It's a bonus 90 minutes today. You will not have to pay for that extra 30 minutes. It's on us, gratis. Rich Lankoff joins us right now. Rich is an attorney at law, a partner over at Bryce Downey and Lankoff LLC. He's here to talk about what we all saw today with the Mueller report. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Where are you today? I know you were originally, we were hoping to get you in studio, but you're out of town, right?
I'm in Arizona on spring break. Was in the Grand Canyon a couple days ago, but nothing brings me away from my legal duties to the Bill and Wendy Show. As you know.
We appreciate that. We heard this morning Attorney General Barr was kind of setting us up for the release of the how many pages that was going to happen, the Mueller report. Now I'm getting a bunch of alerts on my phone, and I don't know what to believe. And what do you have? What is the latest on this?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to unpack, obviously. The report is out, obviously, two volumes. We're all making our way through it. There's reports that the Trump attorneys had the report a couple days before it was released. I mean, there's obviously a ton of new information coming out. You know, what we're trying to unpack and what will be the subject of, you know, endless amount of not just legal but political debate is going to be whether these 10 instances of potential obstruction rise to the level of impeachment. I mean, the decision's been made, as we know, that the Attorney General is not going to prosecute Trump or any of his any members of his administration, campaign team, etc.
Can I jump in here, Rich? Attorney General Barr kind of almost sounded like he was an attorney for Donald Trump as he was speaking earlier this morning, talking about the president being, you know, upset and irritated that this was happening. He didn't sound like somebody who works for us, the citizens of the United States. He sounded like Donald Trump's attorney.
I agree, and he's getting, you know, obviously a ton of backlash from not just Democrats, but some Republicans as well. Obviously, all the Democratic presidential contenders are saying what you're saying. I agree. I looked at the press conference, as we all did, and I feel like that wasn't a great day for the Department of Justice. I think that he should have been far more objective. And he also should have, you know, had a press conference after the release, not just before. I mean, you know, we want to hear from him why he interpreted these 10 acts as not rising to the level of obstruction. There's a real difference between Mueller and Barr, I think. You know, Mueller, now we know that he opined legally that he could not convict nor clear Trump of obstruction. That's a very, very important distinction between Mueller and Barr. You know, he turned it over to Barr. Barr decided that these 10 acts don't rise to the level of obstruction. I don't agree. I mean, the key to this case, as is the key to any white-collar case, is intent, right? At the end of the day, this boils down to what the president intended when he committed these 10 acts. You know, certainly you can look at these acts as, in and of themselves, showing the requisite intent, the requisite mens rea of obstruction. For example, when he said, oh, I fired Comey because, you know, he was investigating this issue, doesn't that show the requisite intent? When he asked the attorney general to fire Mueller because Trump thought there was a conflict of interest, and we now know as a result of a New York Times article that his personal lawyer, Trump's personal lawyer, resigned over this issue, isn't ordering the special counsel fired, isn't that the requisite intent? So there's a legal question there. Obviously, Barr, you know, is being criticized as a political appointee, to your point, Wendy, as a mouthpiece for Trump. He decided not to prosecute. The big question now going forward is, does this rise constitutionally to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors for which Trump could be impeached?
Rich, most of this has unfolded in the last few hours while we've been doing the show. So all I know is what I'm seeing on the televisions here in the studio and what I'm hearing in the news reports every half hour here on WGN. But it seems like Donald Trump is doing something of a victory lap. Is it too early for him to be doing a victory lap?
You know, a second after it was released would not be too early for the president. As you know, he, of course, is doing a major victory lap, as are all of his, you know, Giuliani's come out, Pence has come out. We will obviously see a victory lap. His position is that what it's been throughout the course of this latest news, you know, we knew from Barr's letter recently that there was not enough evidence of obstruction per Mueller. But the flip side is also true. Mueller wrote in his report that there wasn't enough evidence to impeach, or there wasn't enough evidence to convict on obstruction, but he also said that there was evidence of obstruction. There was, you know, sufficient, these 10 instances, there was enough question about obstruction. Mueller didn't decide yes or no. Part of that was political, I think. But there's certainly enough to rise to the level of questions about whether the president had the requisite intent when he did all of these different activities.
Rich Lankoff on the line with us, attorney and partner at Bryce Downey and Lankoff. You can listen to him on the podcast Legal Face Off. I guess my big question is, what does this mean? What happens next?
So again, the Dems are going to, you know, jump all over this as they have, and they control the House. They will likely call Mueller in. They'll subpoena him to testify. Barr said this morning he would not object to Mueller testifying. I don't know that he would have the legal standing to do that anyway, but Barr already said he has no problem with Mueller testifying. I think you'll see a Democrat-led hearing on this issue. And again, under the purview of whether this rises to the level of impeachment, that's a political question. I think legally this issue is probably over, because Barr had the ultimate authority to decide what to do with the evidence that Mueller presented. And he's decided that it doesn't, there was no collusion, and whether there was any obstruction, he's decided there wasn't. So I think legally we've seen the end of it. Of course, remember, there are also other federal investigations going on in New York, Virginia, into some of these activities. So those offices will still pursue their investigations. Many have felt throughout that those are really, those really represent more legal jeopardy to Trump than this did. But as far as this issue is, I think legally it's done. Politically, the question is whether there's grounds for impeachment and whether the Democrats have the requisite, you know, authority and will to pursue that. We've heard from Nancy Pelosi that she's not going to pursue impeachment. Did that change today? Who knows? There's certainly enough in there to pursue it, whether they will or not, is a political question.
What are you seeing there today that would make Nancy Pelosi switch over and think there was grounds for impeachment?
Oh, there's a ton. I mean, you know, these 10 different, and I recognize, you know, you guys haven't had a chance to look at it in detail, of course, but there's 10 specific examples that Mueller references that he investigated into, you know, as possible examples of obstruction.
Yeah.
Each of those 10 in and of themselves could rise to the level of a high crime and misdemeanor. Again, the question is whether, you know, whether constitutionally this will be perceived as a high crime and misdemeanor. Legally, again, I think the issue is closed. Even though you can disagree with how Barr interpreted these 10 acts, I think there's a lot of room legally to disagree as to whether Trump had the requisite intent to commit obstruction. The fact is, Barr is the person who decides that, and he's decided that he's not going to pursue that. You can criticize that as being political. I certainly think it is. But legally, I think that issue is done. The next question is whether those 10 acts will give the Democrats legal standing to pursue impeachment. Again, impeachment, as we know, as we've talked about on your show, is a political question. There's enough there to at least pursue it. Whether Nancy Pelosi feels that, you know, it's a new day today is a political question.
Rich, there was a time today that William Barr was explaining that the redactions within the report fall under four major categories. He then explained what the four categories are. I've not seen the full report yet. You've been looking at it a little bit. Exactly how much is redacted as you're pouring through this? How much of it are you unable to read?
Yeah, there's a significant portion. You know, we don't know exactly, obviously, what's in there because it's redacted. I think the important part, and you know, to the president's credit, he did not claim executive privilege over any parts of the report. So he could have, and that would have been a legal battle.
Explain that for a second. That's the option the president has to read through the report and find parts of it that he's not happy with being released and that he has the right to redact, correct?
Yeah, you know, he could have claimed that some of this was subject to national security issues or presidential privilege. You know, frankly, as we've seen in prior claims of presidential privilege, most specifically the Nixon situation, that didn't hold much water. So I think, you know, Trump realized that he didn't want to go down that route. So while there was, I think, some basis to allege that, I think Trump knew politically that wouldn't have held much water, both politically and legally. And also, you know, he feels that there, as he said, that there's no evidence of him doing anything wrong. So why, you know, why confuse the issue by claiming privilege?
Let's also talk about the fact that it was said by Mr. Barr that this was unprecedented that a president enters into office under such scrutiny, under investigation. But how do you politely say, well, too bad? You know, because there's got to be a moment where you go, well, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. We're looking into whether or not you're guilty of major, major crimes against the United States. So if you don't like us investigating it, too bad. Isn't there a way to politely say that?
Yeah, for sure. Again, I think a lot of that is resulting from, you know, Barr being, it seems like, not very objective, being conscious of who his boss is. That question that you just raised came up in the press conference, and Barr, you know, took offense to it and asked the reporter well, is there any precedent for it? The reporter said no, and he said, well, that's what unprecedented means.
But he's arguing the wrong point there, Rich. I get the unprecedented part. He's 100% correct. No other president has entered the office under such scrutiny, but right. with good reason.
Yeah, because no one's done that, exactly. Right. I mean, you can't hide behind the unprecedented and also do something wrong for the first time. I agree with you. It's sort of ridiculous. You know, the other thing is, remember, you know, there is fairly longstanding Justice Department protocol saying that a sitting president can be indicted for activities he did while in office, and a large portion of the alleged obstructive behavior did happen while he was in office. So the point of that is, you know, there's a political and there's a sort of, you know, reality theme that goes through the report and through, I think, what Mueller decided to do, which is, and he references this. He says, you know, in reality, it would have been very difficult. It would have been onerous. I think he's conscious of the idea that it wasn't a slam dunk. I mean, the obstruction was not a slam dunk by any stretch. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it comes down to whether you can prove that Trump had the requisite intent, mens rea, as we call it legally, to, you know, prove obstruction. And because, very significantly, because he never interviewed Trump, how would you prove intent with not having sat down with the person who held the intent? I still think you could have proven intent by the very actions, right? I mean, the very actions of firing certain people, of ordering that people be fired, of disseminating these hacked emails. If that doesn't show intent, I don't know what is. Right. I mean, that's ultimately the question that a jury would look at. So I think there was enough there. But the fact that Mueller never sat down with Trump, and then for Mueller to say, well, we can't prove intent, is sort of counterintuitive. How would you prove intent without talking to one person whose intent matters?
Sure. Why wasn't he questioned by Mueller? Whose decision was that for him not to be brought in on that?
Well, good question. I mean, that was the subject of months of negotiations. We heard on countless occasions from Trump's legal team, including Rudy Giuliani, that this was a perjury trap, right? And, you know, the next question is, well, why are you worried about perjury if you have nothing to lie about?
Right.
But they kept saying, well, we're not going to produce him. You know, in their defense, from their perspective, if Trump was the subject of a criminal investigation, you know, why would he speak to the prosecutors? That's unusual if you look at it just from the criminal context. In other words, if it's just a regular criminal prosecution, generally the accused would not sit down for an interview with the prosecutor. Of course, this is a different situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this is the president of the United States, if that person has nothing to hide, then, of course, sit down with Mueller. Explain what happened, explain your intent. All Trump had to do, I think, was say to Mueller, yes, I did those actions, but I did not intend to break the law, mm-hmm. or I was ignorant of the law. I mean, either one of those would have given, you know, Trump good standing to say, I've done nothing wrong
right.
in an interview. But the fact that he did not subject himself to an interview, I think, raises questions that the Democrats will pounce on.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know what to expect. I just feel like this was a waste of time and money, this whole thing. I really do.
Was it, Rich? Was it a waste of time and money?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, the 10 acts, many of which we knew about, by the way, I mean, none of which are much of a surprise, but the fact that Mueller delineated them and at least said, remember, he at least said that he could not exonerate Trump. Trump looks at that as saying, well, I'm innocent. And Mueller and Barr have found me innocent of obstruction. Those are two separate things. The fact that the special counsel said, you know, we don't have enough evidence or we don't have, you know, the desire to prosecute is not the same as exonerating Trump. These 10 specific acts of obstruction, I don't think exonerate Trump. I think the opposite. I think they show, you know, a pattern of behavior that was meant to impede this investigation and certainly rise to the level of obstruction. You know, the bad news for some is that I'm not the attorney general and I don't get to make that decision. But, you know, whether that rises to the level of an impeachable offense is a separate question.
So, Rich, if we can believe this report, what we're getting is that Russia had the idea of tampering with the election. They came to Trump's people with that idea, and Trump's people said, yeah, no, thank you. Is that basically it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no question that Russia attempted to collude or to interfere with the election.
Yeah.
And there's no question that they approached Trump's campaign to do so. What Mueller says is that there's not enough evidence to show that Trump or his team
took the bait, colluded
with them, even though we know that there are meetings, even though we know this whole, you know, sham about the Russian attorney who we were first told was there for an adoption and then, you know, we realized was actually there to interfere. I mean, I think it strains credibility to, you know, assume that was all just a coincidence.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you believe, you know, the report says that yes, Russia interfered, but no, Trump wasn't involved in that.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And again, the most important question, I think, is when I think the collusion, I think that's settled. I don't think that's, you know, a good avenue to pursue.
Yeah.
But obstruction, that's really a separate issue. And I think, you know, my interpretation of the Mueller report, I think many in the legal community will look at, yeah, this is, you know, there's certainly enough to pursue obstruction. And I think to possibly convict Trump on obstruction, the fact that Mueller and Barr punted on that was more of a political issue than a legal conclusion.
So there's not much closure that came out of today. This is ongoing. Nothing has been stopped because of what happened today, correct?
Yeah, I think it only opens, you know, a can of worms. I think obviously it depends on what side of the aisle you are. Republicans are claiming victory. Trump is claiming victory. Trump will say that this exonerates him and the issue is closed. I think, and again, we're unpacking everything in there, but I think there's plenty of detail for the opponents of Trump and those who feel like he did commit a crime to pursue that line.
Why don't we have somebody coming out saying, you know, he is not being charged, but he is not exonerated? You know, you're saying that, and I've read it, but the majority of the people are like, oh, nothing's going on. He's been cleared.
Yeah, I think it's digestible for the average person, not to say that the average person isn't intelligent or anything, but I think it's more digestible for the average person to look at the report and say there's nothing there. You know, at the end of the day, the bottom line is the Attorney General of the United States decided not to prosecute. That's it. Case closed. You know, I think if you dig a little deeper and look at these 10 examples, as I've said, I think that rises to the level of obstruction. I think Trump's intent was clear. Trump is not some, you know, novice, even though he tries to portray himself as new to politics. You know, he's very calculated. And I think when he did all of these different activities that are outlined in the report, I think it's hard to just gloss over those and say, well, he didn't have the intent. I think the intent is evident in the action. You know, the fact that he did not actually fire Mueller, I don't think matters. I think the key question is whether he intended to fire him. That's obstruction. That's the definition of obstruction. You don't actually have to carry through with the crime. If you decide to do it and you take some action in furtherance of it, which he did, at least on that one example, that's obstruction. And there's 10 examples of that. So, you know, I think there's plenty there. Again, the reason why we're not talking about indictments today is because this is a Republican attorney general who I think, you know, is loyal to Trump.
Yeah. Rich, is this what you were hoping to do on your vacation?
You know, I pegged this day. I told my kids, let's get the Grand Canyon behind us because this is going to be Mueller Day. So, you know, I have them in the room. They're poring over it.
Yep.
They're highlighting the key terms. My 9-year-old is trying to figure out the nuances of obstruction. So we're all good.
Excellent. That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Rich Lankoff, he's attorney at law and partner at Bryce Downey and Lankoff. He is our show attorney, and you can find him on Legal Face Off, part of that podcast that you can find at WGN Plus. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, Rich. Thanks. Rich Lankoff.
So nothing was gleaned. I mean, nothing has happened. Nothing is going to happen. I feel like this is just a waste of time on both sides.
I don't know that it's a waste of time. And I didn't expect the closure. A lot of people going, finally, once this report comes out, there will be some closure. I never saw it that way.
I just wanted it to corroborate what was given to us in the four-page thing. Because then you're like, all right, maybe there was nothing.
Right.
And then you can move on. But yeah. There's still... he's not necessarily guilty, but he's not necessarily innocent.
Right.
That's leaving too much wiggle room
but
again.
But from the very beginning, the words were, this does not exonerate him, but then his spin on it, the president's spin was, this exonerates me. Even though the words were written out, this does not exonerate him.
Well, if you look up the word exonerate, you're going to see Donald Trump's picture, and right underneath is Jussie Smollett.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've both been exonerated.
We may get... a clue as to what the Democrats are planning to do. House Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler is about to have a press conference.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, all right.
So we're going to find
we'll
out
listen
probably
for that.
Soon what, they're, if
what
they're
their next
announce.
Plan of attack is.
Yeah.
Good. Very good. Thanks, Kim. All right. That's ahead. Kim's news is ahead, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, here on the stream.
Back to the play-by-play of the baseball.
Thank you, Kim. Now, I can't do it without the express written consent of Major League Baseball and the Chicago White Sox. I don't want to go to the big house.
I want to thank American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. What's hot, what's cold, that's what happens on the stream, and that's when we talk to Rich Lenkoff about the Mueller report release.
Yeah. Wendy, I have some very good news from the world of show business.
What?
Charlize Theron has been asked out on a date.
I know she was, you have often brought this up about
it. Does she have a hard time getting a date?
She says, now this is the backstory about the story.
Okay.
She told Entertainment Weekly a little over a week ago, they asked about how her love life is going, and she rolled her eyes, and she said, there isn't any. Nobody will ask me out.
Right, and as I was starting to say, you had brought this up for so many years about these attractive women.
Yes.
Who you wonder what the deal is.
Yes.
And it must scare men or something.
Yes. And... it comes from the girl who was the prettiest girl in my high school told me once, because I never see her at parties and stuff. And I said to her, I go, do you go to any, I never see you anywhere. She goes, no, I never, no one ever asks me out. And I said, that's impossible. And she goes, I'm telling you, she goes, every time I'm in a situation where I think a guy is going to ask me out, it falls apart. They don't ask me out. She just didn't get asked out.
So did you ask her out?
No, because I was afraid then that I would be the guy who did ask her out. And she goes, no. What do you think? I'm not that desperate. Why would I go out with you? No, she was a friend of mine that I really enjoyed talking to. She was a very nice girl, but she just said there was an intimidation factor. And I kind of
get it. I don't get that.
You don't get it?
I don't get that. And Charlize is pretty amazing.
She's so pretty. So she's extremely talented. She's got everything going for her.
But is she a nice person?
Oh,
she seems like
it.
But what do we know?
That's a good question.
You know?
Now, to me, I don't know if either of you would consider this a strike against Charlize Theron, but for me, it would.
She's taller than you?
No, I think she is taller than me, but that's not what it is. She had a relationship not long ago with Sean Penn. And I would feel...
She likes bad boys, you're saying? And that's
no, he doesn't want the sloppy seconds.
Oh, okay.
Not from... like, in my head...
What if it was Keanu Reeves? Fine. Sloppy seconds?
No,
it's just
Sean Penn. I'd be okay. Like, if I was dating somebody and they had dated Keanu Reeves, I'd be fine with that. But with Sean Penn, I go... Your standards are off kilter. If you were willing to put up with Sean Penn on any kind of a basis...
Well, that's what... Sometimes women like... Not like that. I don't want to say like her, but there's just some women that, you know, they just like a bad boy.
Yeah, but sometimes you just fall in love and it's like it wasn't meant to be. And
right.
I can't see her with Sean Penn.
That happens a lot in Hollywood, I think.
Oh, I'm positive. Yeah, without a doubt.
And radio.
Yes,
it doesn't really.
Probably more radio
than
Hollywood.
You know, there really aren't that many radio couples.
Well,
Don and Roma.
Don and Roma.
But that was, I mean.
Bob and Betty Sanders, Wendy.
Yeah, Bob and Marianne. But that
Johnny.
Stephen Johnny.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Stephen Johnny.
But, I mean, wouldn't you have expected that to happen more?
Eric Ferguson and himself. That's a romance that's been budding for years.
At least he knows each other. They know each other very well.
Right. They put up with a lot, don't they? But really, I mean, all the ones we mentioned. Now, the funny part is, in some of the couples we just mentioned, the famous radio couples, they would either pretend or ignore the fact that, they
married.
Were together.
Which I find
that's
strange.
A little crazy.
Well, Don and Roma were told not to say they were married.
Were they told that?
Oh, yeah.
Who told them that? Management told them not to mention you're married?
I don't want to give somebody credit where credit... I don't want to give someone false credit. But who put them together? I want to say Drew Hayes, and I don't know if that's
true. Put them together on air.
Yeah.
Because they were already a couple off air.
Yeah, and she was pretty liberal, and he was very...
Originally, that was the fun of the show, was that he was very right-wing.
So they were like the James Carville and Mary Matlin.
Yes,
but it wasn't known to the public that they were husband and wife.
Right.
Because... You know, I spoke at the Museum of Broadcast Communications over the weekend, and a lot of people were asking the women in broadcasting questions. And when I just started at the Loop radio station, it was asked if, do you have a boyfriend? And I said, well, no, I'm pretty much dating the radio. I work every weekend and holiday here, so no. It's like, okay, well, cool, because if you get one, don't say it on the air. And I'm like, why? And it's like, because, you know, we want to give the illusion that you're available to any man who might be listening. And I'm like,
interesting.
Really?
That seems cheap and tawdry.
I know, but I'm young. I'm just starting in radio. I'll do whatever is necessary. And now if they said, don't talk about your husband,
you
wouldn't have much to say.
I couldn't even imagine them saying that.
So I know you got to work with Don and Roma for a while. Did you ever talk to them about that? Like, did you ever say... You're talking about your life on the air. How do you leave your significant other out of that conversation? Because I wouldn't be able to. It'd be impossible.
Well, I don't know if they... I mean, they were married early on, but they had worked together, I think, before they got married. I don't know their history about that.
Right.
And God rest, you know, Don Wade. Don was a nice guy.
Yes. Yes, he was.
But they...
Hardworking.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But they, you know, really talked about going to bed at 4 a.m. and getting up at midnight. And they never, it worked better,
it
I think,
up.
When they.
But didn't they ever talk about, like, if one of them said, my son, didn't the other one go, oh, yeah, it's my son also. Didn't that ever play out?
Well, in the later, I mean, this was only when they first started out that they were told not to say they were married.
I think it went on for years, though, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't. All I know is that when you and I were doing mornings on Q101, Don and Roma were on at WLS AM, and I think at that point they weren't revealing that they were married.
I don't think they were.
I think you're right.
Right. It was a while.
And I just know that when I'd come home after work and I'd stop at my mom's house, I'd go, hey, what's going on? And she goes, Don and Roma had the best guests on today. I'm like, hello, what about me and Bill?
Oh.
It's so funny. Have you guys had it a lot over the years that people think the two of you are married?
So every once in a while, there'll be a guest that will say something, and we both very quickly go, we're not married to each other.
Right.
We're married to other people.
I keep my marriage certificate here in the file to show them, just to be safe. Do you remember with Steve and Johnny, because I think their story is similar to Don and Roma's, where they weren't letting on initially that they were
I think
a
you're
couple,
right.
Right?
I was here towards the end of Steve and Johnny being on the air here, but when I would listen to them or, you know, would work an overnight, they did talk about being married. So I think by the time I came here, they were talking about it. But, you know, I've only been here for 13 years. So.
That was how radio was, though. I mean, that is, I know, I don't think, old school, is that an okay expression for you? I know you don't like back in the day.
Yeah, I guess you can. Pull
but
off an old school,
the old school or original radio broadcasters, you were that voice in the night. You, a program director, wanted people to think they had a chance with you.
Wow.
So, like,
nice.
I mean,
that's so funny.
But that is kind of how it was.
Yeah. Sylvie and Waddle are married. Did you know that? They talk about it. Everybody's cool with it.
But, I mean, you don't remember that?
I
mean,
yes,
because it was always,
that.
Like, Dick Biondi, you know, had been married, but he had to act like he was, you know, the Italian stallion and single and ready to mingle.
I can't say who it is on air. I wish I could, but there is somebody in town in radio who does promotions where they go places, and they've told that person to never bring his wife because they want women listeners to think.
All right, so that's still going
on. That's still going
happens.
On. Yeah.
All right, that's weird.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Do you think it depends on what type of radio station you're on, though? I mean, WGN, I would see where it's fine to talk about your family and your husband, but it, maybe if you're on, like, some
rock
and roll station or, you know, country, or I don't know.
I agree with that years ago, but now it should be...
Well, I agree.
Because with social media, everybody knows that.
Right, if you're posting pictures, true.
Yes.
Oh, really? You got to tell me who this is off the air, and I'm going to go visit them. I'm going to go pay them a little visit with a briefcase.
To be truthful, Big John Howell, not that big. Very disappointing when I met him. He's...
The ruse of radio.
He is I know. There's a lot of them.
Breaking the ruse. Oh, that's a good... We should write a book.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So, getting back to the initial blast here about Charlize Theron, should we feel bad for her? Should we feel good for her? The poor girl, Kim, cannot get a date. She just
I'm
wants
just
to go
shocked
out,
at that.
She wants
First
to go
of all,
out
I always
movie.
Called her Charlize Theron. Is that...
I've heard the name pronounced many, many different
Theron.
Ways.
Theron.
Is it French?
Yes.
No, she's African.
Well, the name is not African. Oh, her name... South
Theron.
African.
I'm trying to remember. You know, you know her family history, right?
No.
Do me a favor, Wendy. Look this up to make sure I'm getting this right.
I want you to get it right.
I'll look it up.
I'll look it up, but we might... her history?
She is responsible for the deaths, I believe, of her father and possibly her brother as well. There was an attack there in the family.
Maybe people are afraid to date her.
That's possible. But apparently her father was a very abusive man to herself and to his wife, her mother. And I believe...
She grew up on a farm near Benoni, South Africa. At age 13, she wanted to continue her ballet studies. She began attending a boarding school. During a visit home when she was 15, her mother shot and killed her father in self-defense after being attacked by him while he was drunk.
Wow.
At age 16, Theron moved to Milan to work as a model. God, 16 years old.
Wow.
2 years later, she settled in New York City where she continued to model and began studying at the Joffrey Ballet School. A knee injury ended her chances of a career in dance. However, she attempted unsuccessfully to pursue acting jobs. She eventually moved to Hollywood and while making a loud scene, a loud scene after a bank refused to cash a check, she was discovered by an agent.
Wow.
Do you know how many times I've complained? Do you know how many loud scenes I've made?
You should be the biggest movie star in Hollywood.
How old is she now? There?
This isn't right.
Hang on. She subsequently began landing some small parts, one of which in Two Days in the Valley.
Oh, yeah.
Gained her favorable notice and paved the way for her first lead in The Devil's Advocate.
The first thing
97.
I ever saw her in was That Thing You Do. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't think she was in that.
She's got a little bit part in it, but that was the first
Mighty
time
Joe Young was 98.
Oh, I remember that. That was like the King Kong ripoff.
Yeah, The Cider House Rules, 99.
Oh,
the Italian
she's so good
job.
In that. She's really good in
Monster,
that,
I saw, finally. She
won
was
the Academy
great
Award
in that.
For that.
And what's that one you told me to see about the nanny or something? Is she in that?
Oh, yeah.
I loved that
from
movie.
From last year. The Diablo Cody movie. She wrote it.
I can't remember the name.
I don't remember the name of it either.
Super good.
She's very, very good in it. I can't think of a movie I've ever seen her in where she's not really good.
Tully.
Tully's the name of the movie.
Great movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
I've not seen that, but I
heard
it's good.
Yeah. There's also some movie she was in with Patton Oswalt a couple years ago where... They were in a situation where they went to school together. For some reason, something happens, and these guys who went to high school together are called back to the town. And Patton Oswalt was this kid who wasn't very popular, and she was the most popular girl in the school. And they began a relationship. It's a really good movie. I cannot remember the name of it.
She was great in Mad
Max. Something
Max.
Adult, like Consenting Adult or something like that.
I don't have that information. But and I don't know how old she is, actually, because...
Ageless and timeless.
Born in 75.
Sneed just texted me, Wendy. She's
okay,
ageless
so
and timeless.
She's 10 years younger than me, so she's 44.
Yeah. She's holding up okay for 44.
Yeah, pretty good.
I mean, I could see where guys would be a little nervous to ask her.
Why would they be nervous? First of all, she's a movie star. That I could see, but I mean...
Well, sometimes people are nervous about that, you know, because that's what...
Sometimes, like you would say, what could I possibly offer a woman like right. this who is perfect in nearly every
but
way except
that
she dated Sean Penn?
Then you watch Notting Hill and you can figure it all out.
I would even mention that to her. I'd go, I don't know what I could offer you. I'm just a guy. I'm no Sean Penn. And then I would just open my eyes and wait for her to say
Wink.
Something. Like, how did that go? Was that a little caustic? I can't imagine a normal... What would be a normal day if you were dating Sean Penn?
Or Charlize Theron.
A lot of showers.
I don't think he takes that many
no,
showers.
No, if you said, what would it be like if you were dating
right.
Sean Penn? You would be
her,
taking a lot of showers.
You're constantly, yeah.
And putting, you would just feel so slimy?
Yeah, he's just...
He
yeah.
always looks like he just woke up. Always. I don't
he
know,
looks
it's
like he
miracle.
Smells like milk.
I love that movie, by the way. That was a great
I have
movie.
Honestly never seen it.
Oh, it's great.
It's so good.
All right,
oh,
I got to
so
watch
good.
That,
so
but he
and
looks
Josh
like he
Brolin
smells
Josh
like
Brolin is
milk.
Really good in it. He's Thanos in it. Josh Brolin plays the same role in every movie. He's always Thanos.
What's that from?
I need the stones for my glove. It's from the movie Milk. He's the guy. He's the adversary of Harvey Milk's. Oh, you got to see it. It's really good.
It's really, really good.
So good.
All right. How come I can't get any sound here? I am having difficulty today. This is how to pronounce Charlize Theron. How to pronounce...
Maybe that's why guys won't ask her out, Kim. They don't
they
know how to pronounce
her name.
It's not
how
you pronounce her name, and it's totally, I thought, what? Is it Swan?
What?
Swan?
Swan? Swan?
How did you pronounce your name, what?
It's a
can
long
I, wait,
story.
Wait, before, can you, here's my bet on it. I'm going to bet the correct answer is Charlize Theron. That's what I'm going with.
I'm going Charlize Theron.
I think we're saying the same
no,
thing.
No, you're saying Theron. I'm saying Theron.
Okay. I'm going to say it's pronounced Game of Thrones. Let's see who's right.
And this is Emily Blunt and Charlize Theron. That's how I think it is, but she's...
Emily Blunt?
I want to hear it now.
I go by Charlize Theron.
Oh, Theron. She's wrong.
I won. Theron.
No, yeah. She said it differently than you, though.
No, she didn't.
She didn't?
You're hearing everything the way you pronounce it.
She drew out the last few letters.
Charlize
Theron.
Oh, really?
Is that true?
Mom,
I don't know.
Do you know any method acts?
I know.
Fine, because I'm laid back.
Emily Blunt is yapping.
How much fun was it working together?
Pronunciation of my last name is Thron.
Thron.
No, oh, she changed it.
I go by Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron.
Oh, she's just saying it different ways to make it difficult.
So there's no winner here. There's no clear winner.
But
no.
It's the real pronunciation of my last name is Thron.
Thron.
Which is really hard for people to say. Yeah.
Okay. I will learn for the next time. So great job on this movie.
I don't know who he is, but I like him. Great job on this movie.
Now's the time I spark it's when we dance.
It's some guy, how to pronounce Charlize Theron.
That's his whole show? Is he brings stars
and Emily
on?
Blunt, they interview the Huntsman and the Ice Queen. That's what it says. I don't know.
Oh, I think that was from that Snow White movie. Yeah,
yeah, it was the sequel, the second one.
All right, one more time.
But I like the premise this guy has. His whole show is he brings on Hollywood's A-listers, and he just asks them how to pronounce their name, and then they're done with the interview.
We
That's
should
great.
Do something like that.
Swan, yeah. My last
Swan?
Name is Swan.
How did right. you pronounce your name, what?
It's a long story, but okay. I
want to hear it now.
I go by Charlize Theron. But it's the real pronunciation of my last name is Thron.
Boom.
Emily Blunt, by the way, minus an English accent during this interview. Where'd the English accent go?
I don't know.
Usually she's got a much more pronounced British accent. It wasn't there.
And you know, she was born in South Africa. She doesn't have a South African accent. It's American.
No, but she was modeling in New York, like, what did I say, at 16.
Yeah,
she was discovered.
She may have lost it, yeah.
Very worldly.
Well, that's it. I don't remember. Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Don't ask her out, Wendy.
I would ask, you know what? She'd probably go out with
me. She probably would. I just like the guy who did ask her out is like a total non-Hollywood type. He's just like a regular guy. So good for him. I hope this works out.
Did she say yes?
Yeah, she wants to go out with him.
Who's the other person that... remember somebody had a crush on a girl, some celebrity or a golfer or something?
Oh, no, the tennis player.
What's that story?
Jeannie, what's her last name? Somebody made a bet with
Jeannie
her.
Jeannie Morris?
No, it's not Jeannie Morris. Somebody made a Super Bowl bet with her
That's
last
it.
Year, and then they dated for a while. I don't think they're still together. But I was very happy for that guy.
They were together like a year later, yeah. I thought.
Yeah.
It seems like for the most part.
Jeannie Bouchard?
Yeah, that's her. Yeah. She's great.
A lot of times, you know, if a celebrity is married to one normal person who's just a teacher or something, seems like the relationships do last longer.
Matt Damon married a woman who's not in the business whatsoever.
Right?
At all. Yeah, but then Noah Wiley also married like a makeup artist, and that didn't last long.
That's still in the business.
Yeah, that's still business. Yeah.
So you want to find somebody who's totally removed, like, yeah, George Clooney. Yeah.
Jeannie Bouchard made a bet with a random guy on Twitter that if the Patriots won the Super Bowl, she would go on a date with them.
Yes.
Fast forward a year and multiple dates later, they were together. They posted a photo on the of themselves, but I don't know what this date is. We love our car selfies. They were still dating as of
a couple months ago. Because I looked
it up. Really? They made it that long?
Yeah.
Why did you look it up?
I was so happy for that. Because I was so happy for that guy. Because the odds were so far against that ever working out. You would think, oh, she was just going to do the one date she agreed to and then run away as fast as she could. And she didn't do it. She liked the guy.
Yeah, but this was February 2018 that this was listed. So I don't know if they're still together.
I don't think they are still together.
Are you happy?
No, I wanted,
it was a good ride.
I wanted
you were jealous of the guy.
I was so happy for him. All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim, thank you for hanging out. We'll say goodbye next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you for holding. Thank you for holding.
You're welcome, Wendy.
I can't hear anything.
Look who's here in the studio. It's John Williams. Hello, John.
You always sound surprised, like, wow, he came again to work.
Your sense of direction is second to none.
We don't see you if you're not following us on the stream. So we are surprised. Then we know, hey.
You normally do your show in a different studio than us.
Right, so but when we're on the stream because of White Sox baseball, then we both share the studio, and it's nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you, John.
Right back at you, my friend.
I've been reading the Mueller report. I've only got 389 pages to go. That's literally, I read the first 11.
Did you take a picture of yourself with that big stack of papers? Because you should.
We made a gif of me spinning around in my chair, trying to read it, showing the redacted parts.
Oh, yeah.
And I would spin and do it, and Elif would go, you got to do it faster. It's a gif. And so, or GIF.
You're a gif.
Yeah, GIF.
Give to us.
So then we got it. But anyway, it's on my social media.
Oh.
I'm WGN King John there. I'll give you some of the highlights and lowlights of what I've discovered. We'll also do some other stuff. Trying to remember now. Hold on. Just let me just turn the page.
Will there be collusion, John?
Oh, we're going to talk about the bat flip by Tim Anderson. Did you guys talk about that?
We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Is Joe West not the worst umpire in the history of baseball?
I can't make that call.
The worst.
Well, what was his problem with the bat flip?
It wasn't his place to throw Tim Anderson out of the game.
Completely agree. That's
not what you do. Guy gets hit by a baseball, you don't toss
it. But you know what I was doing? I was listening to the play-by-play. We'll go to the news after I finish this thought. I was listening to the play-by-play of the Kansas City Royals guys, which is a very interesting perspective on that scene. I'll play that audio for you because...
They saw it differently?
A little bit.
Yeah, I bet.
We'll get rolling here. Nice to see you, too.
You, too.
Thanks, John.